So this is Proudly Resents, the show about movies that are so good because they're so bad. We're in San Francisco. It's a special. We're in the Dark Room Theater on Mission Street, where they, besides doing bizarre plays and good plays and weird plays, they also do every week a weekly bad movie night. And we have the producer and curator of that, Sherilyn Connolly.
Hey, that's me.
And one of the Star Mike people, whose also name is Mike, and is also my brother, Mike Spiegelman.
Hey, Adam, what's up, bro?
A little nepotism.
Nepotism.
I mean, we should have the owner of the theater, by Jim, the on it, but Mike is my brother. Now, how long has this you've been doing Bad Movie Night?
Since March 27th, 2005.
Wow, so it's been
5 years.
About 5 years.
And, yes, 5 years.
And how did it, so tell us what it is exactly, so people at home know exactly what it is.
The shorthand that I use for it is telling people that it's like a live version of Mystery Science Theater 3000, that we show a bad movie, or then I always have to say, well, movies that are bad to us or movies that are easy to make fun of, and we have three people in the front row with microphones, and, you know, they're cracking wise on the film. They're riffing on the film, to use the lingo. And to me, this is the most important part. We also invite the audience to join
Absolutely.
In as well. It's very much audience participation.
Yeah.
The more the audience is doing, the more they're yelling, the better.
You know, being a live Mystery Science Theater, you don't realize when you watch Mystery Science, there's an audience. So when you have a live audience who are encouraged to heckle, they're going to say things to take you out of your zone. So you want to incorporate the audience in the,
yeah.
in the
Have
party.
You had audience members who thought this was just a regular movie and
yes.
were upset with the talking going on?
Yes, as a matter of fact, an otherwise very cute girl who works at a co-op in my neighborhood is still cranky at me because she came here when we did Xanadu, which was one of our big nights. That was one of the nights that we sold out. And she did not know about the making fun of the film aspect.
Right.
And, yeah, she left early, which I did not know. Then when I ran into her at the store a couple weeks later, I asked her what she thought. She was like, yeah, I didn't like it. Xanadu is my favorite film. And I didn't know you guys were going to be talking over it. I really didn't like that at all. I thought that was disrespectful. And she's always been, even by co-op standards, a little, you know, snooty to me.
So she bruised your organic peaches and
exactly.
threw them in the
sack. And more recently, 4th of July, when we did Cocktail,
right.
we had, like, an old woman with, like, I think she had, like, a walker.
She was
know?
Very cute. The elderly service drove the van up, and she got
yeah.
out.
Wow.
And
yeah.
then she called them maybe 20 minutes into the movie. She didn't realize we would be talking over it.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked in the paper and saw
she
cocktail.
Saw we were playing Cocktail.
Cocktail on 4th of July. I'm going to go see Cocktail. Because she probably missed it when it ran. And, you know, next thing you know it, it's playing again.
Mm-hmm. And right. then we ruined it for her. We ruined her dreams of seeing Cocktail.
I actually felt really bad.
Did you?
Yeah, I don't like
for you, Mike. Someone
I don't like
to,
walking audience. I wanted them to leave happy.
Mike Spiegelman is the moral center of bad movie night. Someone has to feel bad about me.
I'm going
to
get double-crossed by the end of the night.
But is it clear? Like, I've been here a few times, and it is the people who come in, and they're just kind of psyched to get ready, and they have beers, and they're just, like, ready
it
to go.
It depends on where they – how clear it is depends on where they find out about it from. It's, like, we're listed in the SF Weekly. Thank you, guys. And there's nothing in there, for example, about the fact that we make fun of the movies. It's just, like, bad movie night, the dark room. Right. You know, they list the movie. On the website, we try to make it pretty clear, but even then,
you know, a lot of other websites too just list it.
Yeah, they just all they say is bad movie night. Nothing about the riffing. Nothing about the making fun of the film. And there's only so much we can do about that. I feel a little bad for people who are, you know, disappointed by it. And I'm also like, get a sense of humor because we're not hurting your film.
Right.
No, we can especially do your Xanadu.
Yeah, especially with Xanadu or Geely. Geely was another sold out.
Oh, right? I have to say, if the director of Geely is listening, we turned away 23 people from your movie. You're not going to see a dime of that.
Well, let's talk about Geely. Because when you see Xanadu or even Cocktail, like those, to a lot of people, are Cocktail is a good movie.
Right.
Or Xanadu is a cult film that
yeah.
you love to sing along with, you know it's cheesy. But Geely is known for being bad. I mean, I've not seen it, so I can't talk about it. But it is known. Right,
you've heard right. You've heard right.
But it's yeah. like a synonym. It's like you say Geely in the shorthand for a bad movie.
You never saw Geely?
No.
Geely is awful because it's a reality that doesn't exist. The first scene of him as a killer, I mean, he's a gangster, he's a killer. He puts a guy in a washing machine, in a dryer, and he says, oh, I guess not. And then he turns the dryer on and the guy spins around. In the first scene, that would kill a man.
Well, can I just say, I produced once for a TV show, Wee Man from Jackass, We dress him up like a Snuggles the Bear.
Oh, good heavens.
And we put him in a giant washing machine, and he did the interview while being thrown around.
And
so
he was okay with it.
He was very excited.
Right, I take it back. I
had a picture list of awful things to do to him, and when I said that, he got very excited and said, oh, I've actually done something similar.
So, wow. Yes. Well, I take it back then.
It should not happen.
Well, what's nice about Julian about Bad Movie Night is that Bad Movie Night allows you – you can't sit through a bad movie by yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, usually you have a roommate nodding you, and you guys do riffs. So it's a whole – community that is going to hold each other's hand and make it to the end of Julian.
That's mandatory, by the way. Hand holding.
Yeah, a lot of hand holding.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I got pregnant, but
you got pregnant. You did it wrong.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, let's talk about that because it is true. Like, you see a bad movie, the fun of it is to look at someone next to you and go, "Oh my God, did you see what just happened?"
You know, you talk about bad movies that are so bad they're good. There's also some movies that are so bad they're bad that they're bad.
Oh, you
bad,
mean,
like bad,
eight,
bad, 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 bad.
Like
movie.
Eight Crazy Nights.
Like Eight Crazy Nights.
And also something else about Eight Crazy Nights is that it was before we'd established one of the rules that we have now, which is no comedies.
I don't like that rule.
But I have to agree with you, Sherilyn. We try to watch some comedies, and bad comedies are just kind of bad, right?
They are, but part of the problem is even like the worst comedy, like say, for example, The Love Guru, which was last year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another one of the horrible, horrible, horrible ones. Or as Mr. Forniatis just IM'd me over Gmail here. Speaking of ones that people never shut up about, yes, Meet the Fockers. Jim will never forgive me about Meet the Fockers. Things, even the worst comedy, the best comedy or the worst comedy short circuits us because they have this tendency to make the jokes that we would make otherwise.
Right.
Even the worst comedy like these still will make a joke before we will.
That's what do you mean? Can you give an example? Or
these things I've blocked out. Those
well, let's say Little Man. Like, you know, there's
Little Man is the Wayans brothers,
right?
And Marlon Wayans plays a baby. Like they superimpose his head on a baby.
Yeah.
Even Jim, who's doing audio, you cannot stop wheezing about how terrible it is.
Yeah.
It's a terrible film, but now why does that film?
Well, it would. Well, first off, there's a lot of offensive stuff in that film, but they'll have a circumstance that is so broad that you would say something about poop, right? And then they do it, and you know, it's like, oh well, I liked my version better, and like I didn't realize that's the direction they're in.
Bad comedies like the Fockers films really make you question your faith in existence. Really, never mind humanity. Never mind that. I go back to the Big Bang and I say, "Fuck you, Big Bang, for setting into event the chain, setting in motion the chain of events that led to Meet the Fockers."
Oh, you're going way back in the way of beginning.
Oh yeah.
I mean, when they say old school, you're going way old school.
You're
in the beginning of time.
I blame the initial molecules, the primordial ooze, everything that led to Meet the Fockers.
Did you see
I don't want to lose any Christian listeners, but she doesn't really mean Big Bang. She means God. Go ahead.
Okay, fuck you, God, for creating Meet the Fockers.
I hope that cleared it up.
Yeah.
I like bad comedies. Bad comedies create a universe where someone working at the Weenie Hut, let's say Zapped again, and has a big wiener on his hat is supposed to be funny, and then women have big tits, and that's supposed to be funny. But when it doesn't become funny, it becomes this weird universe where everyone has like big tits and wear phallic symbols.
Right.
You know, and you're in this universe where, oh, that's funny, or someone gets seriously hurt in slapstick, and you go, well, in this world, that's funny, or he'll get up, it's no problem, you know, like.
Yeah, so just so people don't know, Zapped Again is a sequel to the Scott Baio movie Zapped, Zapped Again stars Willie Ames.
Yes, who was the sidekick in
Zapped Again only features the girl who gets her dress lifted up in the first movie, as well as Lorenzo Lamas and Karen Black. It does
who
not
plays
have
the main guy,
a new blonde kid.
Then you never heard of since?
Yeah, nope.
A good bad movie. Like, what makes a good bad movie?
For me, it has to take itself seriously to a certain extent. The filmmakers have to have tried to – they have to have wanted to actually make a good movie. Even if the ultimate goal of it was to make money and to entertain audiences, there has to have been some serious intent behind it, whether it's to give the audience a serious thrill ride or, you know, make it like, you know, really scare the audience, something like that. There has to, you know, if all they wanted to do was just make like a crass comedy, that, you know, that doesn't work. They have to have had like some kind of almost noble aspiration behind it.
And so they believe it from beginning to end.
Exactly. Yeah. If you can tell the filmmakers don't really believe in it, then it doesn't work for us. There's really nothing.
I would say like, what was the one with Elizabeth Berkley?
Showgirls.
That's like a good modern example. Even though it was slightly tongue in cheek, they took it very seriously.
Right.
You know, that whole thing about Versace. Yeah.
Showgirls.
But it's so ludicrous that, you know, it misses the mark, and that's what the glorious moment is, where you're like, they're really arguing about this, you know, like.
Well, the other thing about that film is that they, what about Roger Corman films? I mean, would you show them? Because a lot of them, are supposed to be bad. People always say those are the worst movies.
It's yes and no.
Yeah. There's a couple things about that. Not enough of the Roger Corman films are really well known to a modern audience. Ultimately, like, almost my first rule for a movie is someone looking at, like, the listing for us, if they have our flyer in their hand, do they know what that movie is? Have they heard of it before? Are they going to go, oh, I've heard of that. Oh, I've seen that. It sucks. We should come see it and laugh at it. So as much as I'd like to get into, like, you know, classic Corman or Herschel Gordon Lewis or even, God, I'd love to do Doris Wishman films, nobody really knows those. Nobody's
going to
come
see them. And not only that, like, we might know about it, but that doesn't translate into an enjoyable viewing pleasure.
Yeah.
Like, all the facts you get from bad movie books and all the facts you read online and the clips, you sit through this movie and it's just torture and it's dry.
It's just bad.
And something else about Corman films, MST3K, Mr. Science 3000, already did the best ones, and I kind of have a rule where we don't do movies at MST3K.
Well, you do movies that people have heard of, because you don't...
Yeah, that's pretty much... I try to do movies that either people have heard of, or they're going to look at the title, and it's going to be, like, really, really enticing to them.
Again, I respectfully disagree, because I do think, like, a bad movie like Ocean Stigs, which I dragged into this one night, is so terrible and should be viewed by more people, and the only way you can view it is with a room full of people, that you get this experience, wow, I saw a film that's not on DVD, that it's just garbage. But I do understand, you know.
I'll admit, sometimes there's exceptions that prove the rule. Star Crash.
Yeah.
So we sold out when we did Star Crash.
Wow, yeah.
San
Francisco.
And I didn't know that everyone knew that movie. I was kind of surprised. I was like taking a chance with that one. And yeah, we...
Do you feel like people don't come to Bad Movie Night just to see a random bad movie like the movie you mentioned?
Yeah.
That's so obscure, I can't remember. You just said it.
We have a couple regulars who show up no matter what the movie is.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, I think that the actual movie itself is the movie itself or the theme of the month is what draws people
really
in.
Bad. Lorenzo Lamas was not in Zapped again. It was the guy who was in Highway to Heaven, the football player who passed away.
Oh, Merlin Olsen.
Merlin Olsen.
Merlin Olsen was in Zapped again?
I have to see it again.
Oh, boy.
All right, we'll check IMDb.
We have the IMDb that.
Yeah, sorry.
I just have to say I'm not seeing Merlin Olsen, and I am IMDBing it right now.
Oh, you are?
Lyle Alzado, I think, is who you're
talking about. That's
who I'm thinking
about. Well, that makes more sense. Why would Merlin Olsen do it Zapped again?
If you take Merlin Olsen and Lorenzo Lamas and mix them together. Well,
can I just say, I was like, Merlin Olsen, he would never do Zapped again. That's what went through my mind.
Why wouldn't he? What standards does Merlin Olsen have?
He's got standards. He couldn't lower himself.
Oh, we can't have you advertise flowers. You're in Zapped again. I saw it on USA Network.
All right. Well, that's what went through my mind.
All right.
Oh, Mike, your big thing is also tips for... Is it tips for Bad Movie Night?
Yeah, let's say you want to throw as an audience member and especially as a host, like when
to have the most fun. And the host, you mean one of the three people in the front?
Yeah,
are yelling.
Like we have a microphone, so we're in control, and that means our voice will dominate.
That's what we think.
But
by the way, when you're in the back row, people, you know, they
do their own show in the back row. I've noticed that they are on their own planet in the back row, and that's fine because they paid $5 to get in. So, God love them for that.
For Jim's banjo,
yes. Because, we don't own the rights to the movies. Go on.
But, that's a really good point. When you're there and it's live, we're not Mystery Science Theater. We're not Titanica or the other group, Riff Tracks. We don't watch the movie three times, write down all these jokes that apply to the scenes.
Oh, hell no.
And then read them out loud, and everyone golf claps appreciatively. We have a raucous live crowd, and most of the times we don't see the movies beforehand. And so...
Why is that?
Keep it fresh.
For me, I don't want to watch these movies more than once. I actually tried it with Transformers. I tried watching it at home. I got about 10 minutes into it, and I was like, no, I don't want to ever have to see this movie more than once in my life, and I want that time to be when I have a microphone in my hand so I can defend myself against the film.
Yeah, let's be honest. Let's say you're watching Transformers 1, and there's a scene, and you come up with a funny joke, and you're like, all right, I did my research. I have my homework. I got my notes. You get up there, and there's some shit going on live, and you never get to your notes.
When people yell something funny or something else happens.
Yeah, I don't write my notes down, and I – tend to forget what I thought of, and I do pretty well, just in the spur of the moment. So there's no point to it, really.
There's a couple of brave souls that show up, and they'll say the prepared line, and it just drops dead. That's another thing.
And I try to tell them that, too. When we have new hosts, they always are all like, oh, I watched it already. I have some great jokes. I'm like, and I try to tell them, don't watch it beforehand.
Yeah.
Don't.
You
just
have
come
to
come in and do
riff.
It.
Riff.
Oh, see,
you have to be on.
Go along. It'll be fine.
People paid $5 for you to be on.
Right.
And so you have to be on and always. And I think when the audience talks and they come up with their own jokes. You have to listen as a – you have to be part of that audience conversation because otherwise you're yelling over their funny bits and they get angry. You know,
yeah, I try to respond to the audience as much as I can. I try to like engage
them. That's always fun. Yeah. When they hear the people in the front responding or repeating or whatever the joke.
Yeah, I want the audience to feel as involved as possible because they'll have more fun and they'll come back and they'll keep paying the $5 to hear Jim's band.
But as a group, we can sit through Geely together.
Exactly.
Because we're all
ripping. Let's stick to – so what are some of the tips or rules?
The tips are that there's always – I feel like when a scene cuts to something completely completely different transition and on Mystery Science Theater, they'll say, meanwhile. And that always gets a laugh. So it's a question of do you just go for the laugh or do you kind of say, oh, that's a little bit of a cliche or Mystery Science. I say go for the laugh.
Absolutely.
Because you have to constantly be riffing. You have to be entertaining or people will get bored. Mm-hmm. So if you rip off something like, you know, I kind of do something different than Mystery Science, which is I acknowledge the meta-ness of it, that like if it's Ben Affleck in the movie, I will mention stuff about his life. I'll mention the way he acts. I'll mention some background stuff. I won't just constantly, you know, make jokes about Daredevil. I'll try to get some – like we're all insiders,
I like
right?
Daredevil. How dare you? Yeah. Yeah. So you don't – so what else? What about for an audience member, for someone seeing a movie?
Well, if they come to the show, they should realize that this is the nature of the show, that people will be talking through it.
Mm-hmm. No refunds.
No refunds. I do like it when people don't put their feet on my jacket that I put on my chair, but that's just one guy.
No, like general rules. Not like – by the way, last time I was here, and if I find the picture, I'll put it up on the website.
They left. They couldn't handle the show. They left in like 10 minutes.
Who was that then?
The person who put their feet on my
jacket. Oh, yes,
jacket.
That's right. Yeah.
But when I was here, and this is the way the theater is, a guy sat down right in front of me with a big afro. And I think I even groaned and he went, leave me alone. It's like, you know you have the afro. You know I was talking about you. And if I find the picture, I'll put it up on the website. He just couldn't see the screen because this guy's big mushroom head. But for the audience, like if they want to yell something, they should not be nervous about it.
No, not at all. Absolutely. They should totally be obnoxious.
What if it bombs?
Well, you know, someone did say that. There was a joke about the oil spill, and I forgot what movie we were watching. I think it was You and Me, and it was some type of explosion movie. Oh, it was I Am Legend, right?
Okay.
And there was an explosion, and the guy goes, oh, it looks like a oil spill BP thingy. And the whole crowd went, oh, you know, like the whole audience was like, oh, man.
You know, like current jokes?
Now, for the record, I don't believe there's such a thing as too soon.
No, there's nothing that. But
was it too soon or just not funny?
I think it was the delivery was just not funny.
Not funny. Yeah. He thought he was on TV on Leno, and he was actually with a bunch of live people.
Yeah.
And they didn't. No one bought it.
And it's okay to bomb.
It's okay to bomb.
You cannot be afraid to bomb. If
I would rather hear the audience bombing than being quiet.
Yeah, the quiet ones the worst. Yeah, because when they're quiet, it means that we're failing at our jobs.
Right.
You know, and I feel like when we're loud, or rather when they're loud, it means that we're like, you know, encouraging them, that we're riling.
There's some movies though that where we just kind of space out.
Yeah,
you just can't.
Why is that?
Because it's numbing.
That's one of the reasons why we don't. And this ties into the comedy rule as well. For a while there, we were having Razzie Month. The Razzies, of course, are the alternate Oscars, the Raspberries, and I would try to do four or five of, like, if not the worst picture nominees, then at least the ones
interesting
that, the ones that will be the best for us out of the ones that they
they'll take the year's worst movies and
but they always do comedies.
Always.
Their big thing is that they always do comedies and they do way too many gay jokes in their write ups about the movies.
Well, I know you were
For Transformers 2, you know, they called it like trannies too, and I was a little personally offended by that.
Okay.
And so the Razzies films, when we were watching them, were just like, these are actually not too good for us. That's why we watched Meet the Fockers. I'm sorry, that's not true. That was De Niro month, and just to piss off Jim.
What are some of the De Niro films that you saw on that?
The De Niro movies were actually a lot of comedies that month. Meet the Fockers.
Analyze something?
And we did not do the Analyze This movies. We did do The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Frankenstein. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein with De Niro as Frankenstein's monster.
And how was that? As him as Frankenstein?
That was actually really good for us. That movie was really good.
I haven't seen it, but I feel like that is a out-of-the-park hit home run. Yeah.
That instant. Kept on giving.
But what was the most successful night, you thought, both audience and film-wise?
Well, you know, we start every year. The first movie we do every year is, first Sunday of the year, is Snakes on a Plane. That is our annual kickoff, and we actually sell that out every year.
Is that Fish in a Barrel, that movie?
Yeah.
That's kind of cheating to an extent.
All right.
But I kind of feel like the internet set up that pin, and we're the one that's knocking it down.
Yeah.
Because everyone's heard about it. Everyone's curious about it.
Uh-huh. And you know, it is a pretty bad movie, just with some extra gore added to it. You know, it's
right.
It's not.
But Star Crash sold out. Gigli sold out. A William Shatner Esperanto film called Incubus. For some reason, sold out. We were turning people away from Incubus. Go figure.
Right.
The other movie that you do annually is Red Dawn.
Red Dawn. Well, the three movies we do annually.
Okay. Okay.
We start off with Snakes in a Plane. Our anniversary show is Red Dawn, which is the very first film that we did on March 27th, 2005. God, I'm so fucking sick of that movie now. I cannot even.
I finally saw it, by the way. I saw it on
HBO. You start showing the remake soon.
We will do the remake when that hits video.
Fun.
And then in December, and this is one of those ones that really pisses people off. We've lost people. People get angry about it. An original Bad Movie Night host, one of our first hosts, will not even come near the theater anymore because every December we do It's a Wonderful Life.
This interview is over.
Exactly.
It's well deserved.
Why?
Because it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for us. It's very, very, very earnest. And any earnest film is going to be fun, especially one that has a sense of earnestness from like 60 years ago. And besides, it is a it's easy to make fun of Jimmy Stewart, as Mr. Forniatis just pointed out. Everyone loves busting out their Jimmy Stewart imitations. And I have this feeling that there's no film that's sacred. You know, if any movie comes close to being sacred in, you know, the hearts of Americans, it's a Wonderful Life. And you know what? It is not sacred because it's still there. When we make fun of a movie, we don't hurt it. You know, the movie, you can still go and like watch it right afterwards. You can not show up. We don't do any damage.
That movie is more of a cultural thing. I mean, it's like you've seen it so many times and connotated with Christmas. It's less about the film and more about just.
What are some, like, it's funny to say that if I didn't see it 100 times as a kid, I might, and if I saw it for the first time now.
I did not see it 100 times as a kid. I know that It's a Wonderful Life from seeing bits and pieces of it in other movies. Because when I was growing up, every film set at Christmas, Gremlins especially comes to mind, had a scene of someone watching It's a Wonderful, because it's in public domain, had a scene of someone watching that film, and I saw all the satires of it. Like Saturday Night Live would always rip on it, and every sitcom in the 80s and 70s did their It's a Wonderful Life episode. And I never actually sat down and watched the movie because it didn't look that interesting to me. The first time I watched It's a Wonderful Life was when we did it at Bad Movie Night. That was my first time.
What made you want to put it on Bad Movie Night?
Again, because everybody knows it. I knew it would like ruffle some feathers, and which it did. It ruffled some internal feathers.
But what about you do have a sacred cow?
Blasphemy Month.
Blasphemy Month.
When we did movies that you're not supposed to make fun of, because I got tired of people saying, "Hey, that's a good movie. You shouldn't make fun of that movie." So I was like, "Fuck it. We'll do a month of the movies that you're not supposed to make fun of."
And do you remember any of those?
We did Pulp Fiction. Which
I was a part of, and it is a bad movie.
I have never liked Pulp Fiction.
I never liked it.
I've been able to. This is the second time I was able to sit through that movie. I saw it in the theater.
There's so many faults to that movie,
and it's I find it unwatchable. I really find it unwatchable.
It's a middling Bruce Willis movie with two crappy films side by side. You have to sit through an hour of a stupid date to watch a Bruce Willis movie. Then you got to sit through another hour.
I don't like the Bruce Willis movie that's being surrounded by.
You don't think she's cute? She wants a pot belly.
I think she's very cute, and I don't like that scene where they lost track of the watch and he's like about to hit her.
You know, because this watch is really important because it's up the guy's ass. Get it?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man.
I saw that in the theater when it came out because I really liked Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, movies.
Yeah, and that was really.
I'm sorry,
really,
that's a bad movie.
Yeah, I just really did not enjoy it at all. And The Dark Knight. That was actually my impetus, if you will, for doing that month because everyone's going on about how The Dark Knight, best movie ever. Oh,
great, thank you guys. And so the show is it's live every Sunday night.
Yeah, every Sunday night. The technical start time is 8:00. The way it works is 7:30. I start a pre-show, which runs for 45 to 50 minutes. It's usually, things related, trailers and short films and comedy bits related to the film. And the movie usually starts around 8:20 or so.
And
but come at 7:30 for the pre-show.
Darkroomsf.com to find out what.
If you just Google Bad Movie Night, we're going to come up at the top.
For hashtag BMN, which is.
Yes, our Twitter hashtag is BMN. So when discussing us, please use that.
And Sherilyn, how can people find you or things that you're writing?
They can go to my website, which is SherilynConnolly.com.
I have a website called Luggage Tuesdays, like it's spelled or pronounced, and it's a comedy site, and it has links to my calendar and other great stuff. And
you are a stand-up.
And I'm sure these links will all be on the Proudly Resents website, which I imagine exists.
If, yeah.
Well, right now I think it's up. Yeah. if it's not, I'm going to their site to find me.
Check out ProudlyResents.com.
Please leave any of your comments about Bad Movie Night. Your own bad movie night, let us know about it so we can promote it and talk about it. I'm actually turning this episode really around quickly so we can promote that Shark Attack 3 is going to be here.
Shark Attack 3 Megalodon, yes.
It's one of my favorite bad movies, and you really have to see it with other people.
Yes, that's September 12th.
September 12th. There's so many things to make fun of it. I'll probably talk about it on the show, but it's easier to watch to see why it's such a great movie.
Yeah, it cannot be described. It has
and
to be witnessed.
There's a lot of boobs. So listen, if you guys like that, it's worth it too.
And cunnilingus references as well.
Go ahead. What's
that? I just want to plug, I'll be part of the SF Fringe Festival happening September. One night only show at the 4-star movie house. It's called Road Trip to Pluto, the Bitter Planet. And it has video. We play off the video off the screen as well as music and surprises.
Yeah,
and
it's a very
September
funny
16th.
Show. September 16th. 4-star movie theater.
And thebittershow.com has info on it.
I have a garage sale and a bar mitzvah coming up. I'll promote that on the site. All right, thank you very much again, ProudlyResents.com. And thanks to the Dark Room, Charlene, and my brother, Michael.
Thanks, Ed.
Yeah.